And yes, adding my good morning and happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are here, and men and sons and brothers and all that that comes with those roles in life. Well, we're continuing on in our year of relationships, this morning especially we're going to talk about this time to grieve, as I introduced very briefly last week. And towards the end of the sermon, we'll have a little bit of time to reflect, and if there's anything that you especially want to acknowledge of a loss that you've experienced or something that you want to grieve, you'll have a chance to come up and put those in the bottle of God holding it together. But before we get there, just a quick review of where we've been in this year of relationships. We've shown this a number of times, but we looked again, the centrality of relationships back in January and February about the image of God and how God created us for relationship with himself and others as a central part of what it means to be made in the image of God. In March, we looked a little bit about how sin destroys relationships. In April and May, we were looking at how the gospel restores relationships. And especially in those destroying and restoring, we were looking at Ephesians chapter 2 as giving us this incredible summary of how God brings restoration to what was lost, telling us what was lost, and then how God brings restoration. And then through the summer, and really probably through the end of the year, we want to talk a little bit about, so with all that as the foundation, kind of the conceptual foundation, how do we actually, what are the things we need to do to actually live into that? Well, how do we move forward so those nice concepts actually become our lived reality? And that's some of what we've been doing in the emotionally healthy relationships material. And we're going to pick up some of that this morning and through the rest of the year. So we begin this morning with Psalm 56. And if you heard Marianne read it, or if you've read it before, you can see how the depth of emotions in this psalm. And so similar to what we saw in other psalms. Last summer, if you remember, we took a couple months and read through the psalms. And we challenged each other to do a project about the psalms, to identify different parts of the psalms, and to allow the psalms to help us express our hearts and our experiences to God. And as we went through there, we saw all the different emotions that happened throughout the psalms. And it's probably true that there is a psalm, or at least a verse in the psalms, for every emotion and every experience that we have here on earth. And Psalm 56 is a good snapshot of that. And we see again David in this psalm and in others bringing his experience to God, crying out to God, God, this is how I'm feeling! And that's the gift of the Psalms, is to give us a vehicle, to give us words, and to let us know that it's okay to bring our anger and our grief and our fear and our silence and our confusion and our joys and our happiness all to God, sometimes in the same moment, in the same psalm. That's what we see here, this anger and fear and worry and joy and peace all wrapped up in this one psalm. And the Psalms teach us that God loves it. As somebody told me recently, he would rather be in relationship and hear my anger and fear and misunderstanding than for me just to be silent and cut him off. That's what he can't stand. But bringing whatever emotions I have to God is part of building that relationship, and God loves it. He doesn't scold us for our bad emotions or negative emotions, but he wants to use them to lead us into deeper relationship with himself. And Psalm 56 is one piece of that. And as we talk about grieving this morning, it's a part of how we bring ourselves to God. But just before we get into grieving specifically, there was a little activity in our emotionally healthy relationships material. If you got to unit 4 or lesson 4, chapter 4, I forget what they're exactly called, it was exploring the iceberg. And the author, Peter Scazzera, gives us a little emotional workout, he calls it, to a little reflective exercise to think about how we're feeling that can help us to be more and more aware of how we're feeling. So he gives us 4 quick questions that I'm just going to give you a minute to think about here this morning. All right, so the first one is, what are you sad about? I'm going to give you a second to think through these in a minute. The second one is, what are you mad about? Third one is, what are you glad about? And the fourth one is, what are you worried about? It's a little more shocked and surprised, but we'll use worried. So he says, it's good if you can sit with these questions for 2 minutes. We're not going to take 2 minutes this morning, but I encourage you. We'll just take a couple seconds for each of these. So just in your mind, as I ask these questions, I want you to think about what comes to mind for you right now for each of these emotions. Or maybe it was something that was in the past, but it's what comes to mind as you think of each of these emotions right now. So you don't have to share anything. We'll just take 30 seconds for each of these and just see what pops into your mind. So first question is, what are you sad about? What are you sad about this morning? Second one is, what are you mad about this morning? What are you angry about this morning? What makes you go grrr? Third one, what are you glad about? What are you happy about? What makes you want to jump up and down and celebrate this morning? What are you happy about? And last one for this morning, what are you worried about? What causes you to be a little bit anxious, unsure, a little bit worried? All right. Well, Gazzara says that that little reflective exercise is like an emotional workout that helps us to build the emotional awareness muscles that allow us to be aware of how we're feeling in the moment so that we can use our emotions in positive ways rather than letting them control us unaware in negative ways. So I encourage you to continue to practice that. And just this morning as you did that exercise, was there one of those questions that was the easiest for you this morning? That just was like, boom, right there it was as soon as I asked the question. Any of these that were really easy for you? You can shout it out. Sad, mad, glad, or worried. Well, I would encourage you to spend time reflecting on how we're feeling. Because as has often been said, emotions are excellent signposts for what's going on inside of us, but they're terrible leaders. And part of not letting emotions lead us is being aware enough of them that we can see them and not let them have control over us in a way that would be unhelpful or unhealthy. And that's a lot of what that explore the iceberg part is about. So why would we want to be more aware of our emotions? Why would we want to be more aware, spend more time thinking about these things that are kind of deep and complex and sometimes hard to wrap our minds around? Well, I'll just offer two reasons this morning. One is because they are very important to God. And this is what our Psalm 56 says, a verse that we're going to look at as Marianne read from the New Living. It says, Psalm 56, 8 and 9, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. So God is very interested in our feelings, in our experiences, in our sorrows, our pains, our griefs. Not only is he interested in being with us in them, he actually records them, it says. You keep track of them. You record them. You know about them. You hold them. So God, apparently these things are very important to God. And so that means they should be important to us too. If God takes that much time with them, we should be taking some time with them too. And it's when we acknowledge them and understand them more that God can come in and be with us in them. Which of course is what he wants. He wants to be with us in them. So that's the first reason. And the second, as Scazzara points out again in the Explore the Iceberg piece, that our emotions, if we're not aware of them, we don't acknowledge them, if we don't process them, they do not go away. They will be there. And then they will come out in ways that we don't understand and have a lot less control over. Our modern phenomenon of road rage is kind of the quintessential example of this, right? How people from one wrong move or a bad move from somebody else can get so angry. Obviously, the anger is not just based on that event, right? There's a lot of other anger that's been stored up that this now becomes a very convenient, impersonal event that can all get flown out on that event, right? So now I have an outlet for all this anger that I don't want to look at. I can throw it all in one person. I don't even have to look at them. But that happens all the time in our life, where we don't realize or acknowledge what's happening to us. It gets built up, built up, built up, and then something happens, and all of a sudden, it's that situation plus, 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 plus that's flowing out of us, and we're like, holy cow, what is happening? We're aware of it. And we can see this in daily life, right? If something stressful happens one part of the day, and then we go to another setting, that stuff doesn't go away, right? We're carrying that with us, and it can affect how we respond to situations. Because Cesare's point is that if we aren't aware of our emotions, it's really impossible to live, or it very much hinders our ability to live in healthy relationships and to love our neighbor well. And that's why we want to make sure that as a church family together, we're creating the space and learning together from each other, how are we processing the experiences and the emotions of our lives, even as uncomfortable and as confusing, and as in some sense feels at sometimes like a waste of time. But if we're going to obey Jesus' command to love our neighbor, then this is not a waste of time. Because love has to include our emotions. So today we're going to specifically talk about grieving, just one type of emotion. And it's a piece that we don't talk about a lot in church, or at least we don't have a lot of spaces in groups that I've been in that we've talked about grieving. But as I shared at the retreat, even in my own journey, realizing again how important this is in all the events of our life. So again, as we said at the retreat, there's every time there is a change, almost every event in our life has some gains and some losses, right? There's some things that we can celebrate, and there's some things that we need to grieve. Even in the very normal progression of life that we want to see happen. Travis mentioned last week, graduating from high school. How many people were so glad to graduate from high school? Were you happy when you graduated from high school? I remember my dad saying he walked out of that school so glad he would never have to go back to school in his entire life again. And he never did. He couldn't imagine why anyone would want to go to college. And so there's this excitement and celebration for something as good and right as graduating high school. But even in that transition, there's also some losses, right? There's some things that graduating from high school makes us lose that we don't have anymore. And if we don't process that, if we don't at least acknowledge, hey, this is really good, this is what should happen, and yet even in this transition, there's some losses that I'm experiencing. There's some unknowns. There's some other emotions along with that. And as we are able to process them and acknowledge and let them go, that allows us to move forward without having to carry those losses. So it could be something simple, any transition that we go through, or it could be more cataclysmic and huge losses. Often we think of grieving as when we lose a loved one or someone we know, the passing from this earth. Of someone that's been a part of our life is obviously a very important time to grieve. But it's also more than that. And other cataclysmic events that we've experienced, like the past year of COVID, where there was a sudden, rapid, complete change of our relationships, interactions, of our routines, of our understanding of the world. And there's a lot of losses in that for many of us. In many different parts of our life. Or it can be subtle over time, right? Things like deteriorating health in some ways can be a long process of loss that we don't even realize or is hard to process. Or relationships that get progressively more distant over time because of whatever event. Those can be hard to even recognize, because it's so gradual and subtle over time. But we need to acknowledge the losses that are happening even in that. Or it can be losses that are confusing and hidden. We don't even know where it's all coming from or what is all driving this sense of loss and pain that I'm feeling. And the important thing is not that we figure it out or name it or can categorize it. The important thing is that at some level we can acknowledge that there's a loss and a grief here that I'm experiencing that I can hold up to God and others to help me walk through that. Because that's what God wants. He wants to be a part of that journey, but he can only be a part of it if we are on the journey, and we can only be on the journey if we acknowledge that it's happening. Otherwise, we'll never be able to walk through it in a healthy and safe way. So what helps us to grieve? Well, the first thing, of course, is to stop long enough to acknowledge that it's happening. And that's part of the hardest thing in our current culture of distraction and busyness and constant activity and stimulation, to be able to stop long enough to understand what is going on here. And that's why this little four-question reflection on what am I feeling right now is a very helpful exercise, because it helps tune us in to this emotional center of our being, which then can give us more clarity on what we're feeling to help us process and walk through it. So I encourage you to stop different times of the day, even when you're driving, when you're eating, in the normal rhythm of life. What am I feeling right now? And maybe those simple questions, what am I glad about? What am I sad about? What am I happy about? What am I worried about? Can help to tune in greater and greater ways to these emotional realities of our life. And then once we acknowledge it, we need to take more space to feel it. Actually feel it, right? Own it. This is not out there somewhere. This is a part of me that's experiencing this right now. My tendency, of course, as I acknowledge my emotions, is to quick get through them. Get on to something else, especially if they're negative emotions. But to sit in it long enough to experience it in a way that allows me to understand at a deeper level what's going on. Somebody told me not that long ago, we were going through a difficult situation, and they said, I'll be fine tomorrow, I just want to be upset for a little while. And when they said that, I was like, I've never thought that. I've never thought I just want to be upset for a little while. I'm always trying to figure out how to get out of that, right? I want to get through that, get past it. So when I heard that, I was thinking about that for a while. What does that mean to just be upset for a while? And is that even right? Is that good? Should I be upset for a while? And how do I be upset for a while in a healthy way? So I tried it. One time, later on, something bad happened, and I was like, well, let me just try this being upset for a while thing. Now, of course, we're still responsible for our actions. If we're taking out our upsetness on other people, that's inappropriate. So I found ways to just be upset in a healthy way. And actually, I found out that this person was right. But that's actually a much better thing, to be upset for a little while, because it allows me to feel it, to work through it, and then I wasn't carrying that upsetness with me after I was done being upset. And it was a little bit of a small thing, so it wasn't like it took me days and weeks and months. But I realized, oh, we got to feel it. At some level, we got to feel it to allow ourselves to really own it. Because as we own it, then we can invite God into it. All right, God, this is where I'm at. And I can't get out of it. I don't really want to just run past it. God, what is happening? Help me understand and help me walk through this well. What do I need? What do I need to do? What do I need to say? What do I need to not do to help walk through this emotion? And as we've said before, God is such a good shepherd. He knows how to lead us through each of our emotions, even when we can't and won't do it. So this morning, our simple question is, what am I grieving? How did I say it? Yeah, what am I grieving today? And we're going to take a second. I challenge you to think about that this week. Again, it might be a very small thing. Something happened that I didn't want to happen. Something didn't happen that I wanted to happen, even this morning or this week or this month. And those things, we still need to acknowledge them, but they don't take as long to feel. Because wallowing in our emotions, of course, is the other ditch that we don't want to fall into. Making things bigger than they actually are. But our subculture would push us to the ditch of avoiding emotions rather than wallowing in them, and we need to acknowledge that as well. So it might be a small grief. We were working on this in Sunday school today, and we had happy faces and sad faces, and some people drew tears on their sad faces, and as we were talking about being sad, I said, well, it's not always something that makes you cry and cry and cry and cry and cry, although those things are there too. But just losses that we experience we have to acknowledge, this is a loss. This is sad for me that this didn't happen or this did happen. Or it could be something much larger that we can't process in 5 minutes this morning, but that takes a journey to process. And as I was reminded this week, grief isn't only that we acknowledge it, process it, and move on, but these deeper griefs often come in waves, right? We process them and let them go, and then we realize, oh, it's back. We process it again. And those of you who have walked through grief with loved ones know that that's often part of the journey. So what comes to mind for you this morning? We're going to take a couple minutes just to reflect on this question. I'm going to strum away on the guitar a little bit. And we're going to have a chance to come up and use our bottle over here. As we said yesterday, the part of Psalm 56 is that God keeps track of our sorrows and this beautiful picture that he has collected all of our tears in his bottle. I love that picture. And so this is our bottle, again, giving a physical reality to this spiritual concept. And these are some tears. I used recycling some of these broken tile pieces that we used for our cross. And there's also some paper here. And what I'd love for you to think about, what am I grieving today? Again, it could be something very big. It could become something very small. It could be something related to the past journey of COVID and how that affected our relationships as a church or as a family or as a community. It could be something related to even before that, something that you feel like, man, this is a loss I just want to name that I've never really named before. It could be one thing. It could be five things. But we're just going to take a couple minutes just to reflect with this question. And if something comes to mind for you, I would encourage you, so we're practicing this, right? We're just going to stop for a couple minutes and think about it. Reflect on it. Stop long enough to think about what am I grieving today. And then we're going to feel it. I want you to just sit with it. Wow, this is a loss. What does that feel like? And then I want you to, I'm inviting you, if you feel comfortable, to come and take a tile piece or a piece of paper. If it's helpful to write something on it, a letter, a picture, a word, a phrase, you can do that. If you want to write for 5 minutes, if that's helpful for you, fill one of those papers up, that's also fine. And then just stick it in the bottle as a way of acknowledging, God, I am grieving this, but I know that you are also carrying this with me. That you are with me in this grief. And I want you to continue to teach me how do I walk through this together with you. Because God is so good at walking us through. And stick it in there as just a physical sign of letting go and inviting God into this grief to hold it with us as we go. All right? So that's what we're going to do for a couple minutes right now. And so you can feel free to sit with this question, what am I grieving today, what comes to mind? And if it's helpful, I invite you to come up and you can just put a blank paper or a blank tile in there if you want, or you can write something on it if that's helpful. Because we want to acknowledge these things and we want God to come and carry them with us. So let's pray together as we enter into this time, and then I'm going to strum away on the guitar and I'm going to invite you to come and have this physical reality of God holding our griefs in his bottle. So thank you, Lord. And as we said, these are emotions we all feel, that we've all experienced grief in our lives, sadness. Things haven't been like we want them to be, and that causes us sadness. In little things, like what happened this morning even already in our lives, or in more cataclysmic things of relationship struggles or hopes dashed or other forms of brokenness in our world. And so we thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you are acquainted with grief. You know about it. And you want to be with us in it. So would you draw near? Would you help give us clarity on what things you would bring to our hearts this morning as we think about what am I grieving? And that you would allow us to experience your presence in a fresh way as we reflect on this together. In Jesus' name, Amen. All right, let's come back together here from that reflection time. Hopefully that was helpful. And if you're still sitting with something, obviously this will be here after the service and all week. So feel free to come by and take some space to grieve, even if you need some just quiet space to grieve and think through things by yourself. I encourage you to take some time for that this week, either here or in another quiet space. And praise God that we have a God that enters into our grief, that comes right down and walks through it with us, that understands it, that carries it. But not only that, we also have a God who transforms it. As Carmen mentioned on the cross, this great symbol of power and kindness and loss and grief and hope and all these things wrapped up together. And as that cross weaves into the tomb and the empty tomb and the resurrection, we see a God that is able to walk into grief and transform it into glory. Of course, that's the goal. That God would, we would allow God to so meet us in these windows and doorways of grief that they become the very entranceways and the very passageways deeper into the life of God. That we don't actually get diminished by loss, but we are expanded and extended, and our capacity to carry the glory and love of God is actually expanded in ways it could not have been if we didn't walk through what we walked through. And that's why we want to continue to allow God to come into these things, not only to help us be free and walk forward in healthy ways and healthy relationships, but because these things become the very places where we experience a level of God's presence in life that we would not have before. You've all experienced that probably at some level as you've walked with Jesus. But I always think of a story that a mentor of mine in college used to tell me. He went up to see Richard Wurmbrand speak at David Wilkerson's church in New York City. And many of you know the name Richard Wurmbrand as the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs and suffered incredible under the communist occupation in Romania. Just if you've read some of the stories and things he went through, it's like it's unbelievable. But this mentor of mine said, Troy, when he got up and I saw him speak, I knew that there was a level of spirit and life of Jesus in his life that you simply cannot have if you have not gone through what he has. And I always think of that. That's a very extreme example of extreme suffering leading to extreme ability to carry the presence of God in his life. But every little grief and every little loss that we experience, if we allow God to come into that, it expands our ability to carry the life of God into the world. In that sense, it's a gift, both to us and to the world around us. And that's the hope that we live with as we walk through grief with God. That at the end of all things, it's life, transformation, joy and glory. That's always the end. All things are heading there, even though the bumps on the road feel so opposite so many times. That hope we live with, and it's that hope that allows us to walk through grief. So I encourage you to continue to sit with that and allow God to acknowledge with God the griefs and losses that we've experienced, that we are experiencing, so that his glory can continue to fill us in greater and greater ways as we walk that journey. And not only does God come into our sorrows, but he, as his people, gives us the incredible privilege of carrying each other's sorrows together. So we have that great verse in Galatians that says, carry each other's burdens. And we talked at the very end of the retreat about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, and how that simple verse is such a powerful expression of what it means to carry each other's burdens. So next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about how do we carry together the griefs that each of us walk through individually and in our individual experience. Let's pray together as we finish. So we welcome you, God, who is acquainted with grief and well experienced in sorrow, who is not afraid of our emotions, but has created them in the depths of our being so that we could be like you in a way that we not only experience life, but we feel it. And it becomes a place where the depths of who you are more experienced by who we are. And your glory is able, and your transformation is able to be shown in even greater and greater ways in us and through us. But these land of emotions and feelings is so confusing for us who are so used to physical realities, rational logic. So we just pray, God, as we bring it to you, that you would teach us how to slow down and be aware of it, how to feel it well, and how to walk through it in healthy and life-giving ways with you and with others. We trust that your Spirit is able to teach us to do that, God. And we commit that journey to you. In Jesus' name, amen.